Those of you that attended the Festival of the Holy Name in Chicago, you'll recall what we're going to be doing today. This is the topic is Fundamental Principles of Chanting. And it's based upon Shikshastakam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a whole book describing how Shikshastakam itself is a meditation. I mean, it's many things, but his explanation is that it's the summation of the teachings of all the Vedas, particular to the chanting of the holy name, particular to reinstating us in our relationship with Krishna, which is the theme of this retreat, reestablishing ourselves in our relationship with Krishna by teachings and by practices. So it's a meditation that carries us to that stage. In the book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he does the Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He expands. He uses this word, vistadani. Mantra, vistadani. He expands the mantra. It's like the opposite of making a giwik. When you make a giwik, you take a little bundle of ghee, a bundle of cotton, and you start turning it, turning it, and turning it, and turning it, and turning it, and you dip it in a little ghee, and turn it, and turn it, it gets real tight, then you shape it, you got a ghee wick. So this is the opposite. You take a little bundle of cotton, and you start pulling it, and pulling it, and pulling it. You got this little fiber, you got that little fiber. You look at all the little fibers. That's mantra vistadani. You expand the mantra, and then you put it back together again. You got a mantra. Then you have some sense of, within this mantra, there's a lot of stuff. Very powerful. It's rich and full, but it's real easy because it's just a mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So, taking it and expanding it, how to, by in experience of entering very deeply into the details of the Hare Krishna mantra. So, inspired by that book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and from his own trying to enter more deeply into this very fundamental practice, the chanting of the holy name, Bhurijan Prabhu has written a book. This is an advertisement for his book. It's called Japa. Nice name for a book. And it's a skinny book. And it's not even full page. We don't have any for sale here, but I'm sure you can find one if you want one. And this is, I'm borrowing that his inspiration, which is borrowed from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's inspiration, which is borrowed from Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastakam. And we're going to go through Shikshastakam and come out up through Shikshastakam 5 and come out with 9 fundamental principles of the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. He's omniscient. There's nothing that he does not know. Sarvajna in Sanskrit. But he taught things, but he didn't write anything, except for at least what's known is he wrote a book of grammar and then threw it in the Ganga. Nice lila. But something that is known, that remains, is Shikshastakam. The only thing that's certain that people know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally wrote and taught it. And we find it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, at the last chapter of Antyalila, because he taught it again and again. So if we've heard this, no harm, hear it again and again, because it's so full with meaning and spiritual potency to carry us to our relationship with Krishna. So we'll start this morning with the first of the Shikshastakam verses, Cheta Darpan Marjana. Is there anybody that does not know that verse? Cheta Darpan Marjana? Okay. We need sheets. Could you take care of this? I have one. You can have them printed. So for those of you that don't know the words, listen, and we'll, the rest of us that know, we'll recite the verse together. We'll recite it twice. There's different meters, but we'll do one that's easy. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam vidyavadho jivanam anandam bodhivardhanam pratipadam purnam ritasvadhanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. Okay. That was really fast print job. Okay. One more time. You're going to recite it also, right? Chat with us? Okay. Cheto darpanam marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam shreya kairava chandrika vidharanam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam bodhivardhanam pratipadam purnam ritasvadhanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. What's the translation read? Who would like to read the translation? I don't have it. You read the translation? Loud.
Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtana, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large, because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious.
So, param vijayate, not just vijayate, param vijayate, the supreme victory, the victory that finishes all other battles. Param vijayate, the chanting of Krishna's holy name, describes the effects of chanting when one who sincerely takes up chanting. There are effects, and recognizing the effects, it inspires one to chant. So that's the first. After breakfast, we'll start writing things on the board, but the first one is chant. And when you experience these items, it inspires you more to chant. And these items are experienceable. In fact, we've all experienced some portion of this just from chanting. So we'll go through there's seven little sections that are the glories of the chanting of the holy name or the effects of the chanting of the holy name. And in sequence, they're presented as Chaitadarpa Namarjanam. Chaita means heart, or it can mean consciousness, or it can mean mind. Chaita. Darpana means mirror. And Marjana means cleansing, like Mandira Marjanado. Spiritual master is pleased when he sees the devotee is cleansing the temple, because by cleansing the temple, he's cleansing his heart. And spiritual master is pleased to see the disciple cleansing his heart. Because when Krishna is pleased, and one is doing that to please Krishna, it makes the heart clean. So that the chanting of the holy name has that effect. The conditioned soul doesn't have a cleansed heart. The heart is infested with so many other things besides the dormant, innate, natural desire to serve Krishna, with so many other things. It's like probably like with the devotees when they're preparing for our retreats. They have to clean rooms that haven't been used in a long time. One of those spaces is the schoolhouse over there. So I've been party to the exercise of making the rooms ready. It's one thing when you clean your house, and it's another thing, something that's been neglected for years and years and years. So our hearts are like that. Not just like, a little layer of dust. Imagine a layer of dust that's 30 miles thick. And you look in the mirror, what do you see? A bunch of dust. You don't see the reflecting surface at all. You just see the dust. So how long will it take to cleanse all of that dust? It's going to take a while. Even if you had a powerful scrubber, it's going to take a while. 30 miles of dust is a lot of dust. And years and years and lifetimes of neglecting our relationship with Krishna. And in its place, this accumulation of other things, other interests, other things that are occupying our what's important to us. We've got our whole long list of what's important to us. That contact with dust or contact with matter, it's got like this further implication. It's not like just this innocent particle of dust. It's the modes of nature that impel us. They act upon us to condition us. It's part of the package. It's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the material nature has two potencies. The covering potency, that's the dust. But then that which has a tendency to keep us there, the binding force of the modes of nature. And particularly passion and ignorance. We're kind of like a little bit okay with the mode of goodness. Being contaminated by the mode of goodness is like an upgrade for us. But the modes of passion and ignorance are very mean. And they have a very strong hold upon us. And they cause us, they impel us to chase after happiness where there's no happiness, like chasing after water in a desert. And very stubbornly, we keep trying and trying and trying and trying and trying. And even in spiritual life, we keep trying and trying and trying for material happiness through the medium of spiritual practice. Become the enjoyer of a little success in spiritual life. It's so ingrained. A little, become proud of a little spiritual knowledge. Become something, some sense of something, because we can sing nicely or we can do something. It's pernicious. It just doesn't go away, this mode of passion. And then when we recognize that's there, we go into a lamentation. Oh, or anger, without portraying examples of these things. We're all too familiar with these modes of nature. But the glory of the Holy Name is Cheto Darpana Marjanam. We can experience it. We've all experienced it to some degree. This cleansing takes place. Bhavamaha Dhavagni Nirvapanam. Agni, we know what Agni is. It's fire. Dhavagni is a forest fire. Maha Dhavagni is a big, blazing forest fire. Maybe because of, you know, the great advantage of television, when there's these big forest fires in Southern California and you get to see what that looks like. It looks like very fearful. You got all these people out fighting the fire and there's nothing they can do. Just like burns houses and the whole, just... But if you've been near a blazing forest fire, it's... We were describing this just before... Oh. Yeah. It was in Detroit. With Krishna's swelling of the forest fire. Forest fires are very intense. I was once traveling in Vermont and going down the road, it was just like, you know, kind of temperature like today, very mild. Then all of a sudden it started getting warmer. Then it was getting really hot. And you know, we're in the mountains and it was, the evening was coming in. The daytime was falling. It gets cooler, but it was getting hotter. And we rounded a bend, and there on the mountainside was this huge blazing fire, forest fire. You could feel the waves of heat, and it was... We turned around and went the other way. It's very intense. And as Prabhupada describes, nothing you can do. Buckets of water, hoses with big tanks... There's only one thing that can put that fire out. Downpour of rain. I mean, they have this system where they going in the direction of the wind, they go down and make another forest fire that they can control, so that when that fire gets to that burned out spot, it'll stop. That's another one of their techniques. But downpour of rain. So bhava is the sufferings. It's not bhava, it's bhava. The suffering of the living entity. Bhava maha dhavagni nirvapanam. It extinguishes the blazing forest fire of material existence. Or in the language of Rupa Goswami, kleshagni. Even in the beginning, in the sadhana stage of sadhana bhakti, all kinds of suffering can be nullified by chanting. And we've experienced it. To some degree. We become forgetful again. And then we experience it again. But to some degree we've experienced what it's like to the sufferings in material existence just dissipate. Bhava maha davagni nirvapam Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam. It means the white lotus of good fortune. Kairava Chandrika. It expands. So this symbol of the lotus we're quite familiar with in Krishna consciousness. Krishna's abode, Goloka Vrindavan, is like a lotus. But it's a symbol of tranquility and peace and purity, the white lotus. So, as the white lotus of good fortune expands, it's the symbol of the awakening of our true spiritual identity. You take away the covering, you take away the sufferings of material existence, and we can start to discover who we really are. And the innate good fortune, the innate intrinsic value that each of us have, aside from, you know, whatever our material so-called skills are, those are nothing. The real something is our spiritual identity. And those are so many zeros, which in used in Krishna's service puts a one in front, but without the one, there's so many zeros. It's the actual merit of the soul, the identity of the soul, discovering, awakening that sense of who we really are, just from chanting Krishna's holy name. And slowly, that expands. Or Shubhadha, in the language of Rupa Goswami. You know these two from the first chapter of Nectar of Devotion. That chapter is called Six Characteristics of Pure Devotional Service. The first two are attained through sadhana bhakti. The second two through bhava bhakti, and the final two through prema bhakti. But just even in our little neophyte stage of practicing Krishna consciousness, the diminishing of sufferings and the awakening of auspiciousness, just from practicing attentively, properly, carefully, we can experience those things. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam. That's the third one. Fourth one is Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. Vidya is knowledge. Vadhu is the wife. And Jivanam is the living entity or life. So literally, it's the life of the wife of knowledge. So, Krishna is the embodiment of all knowledge. And so he's the husband. And transcendental knowledge follows wherever Krishna is, as the wife very faithfully follows the husband. So by awakening our sense of, our spiritual sense of who we are, turning our attention to our relationship with Krishna, being connected with Krishna, conscious of our connection, our relationship with Krishna, transcendental knowledge awakens. We know this from the nice verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter of the first canto. What's that verse? Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janiyati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chad Ahaitukam. Knowledge causelessly awakens in the heart of one who engages in Krishna's service. And this service is our chanting of Krishna's holy name. We don't have to read so many books. We read books because it helps us. But if one was illiterate and couldn't read books, that transcendental knowledge awakens within the heart from the process of chanting. It's from the process of chanting that we're then enabled to understand what we're reading when we're reading books. Reading books will help us be inspired to chant. Chanting will help us understand what we're reading. Here's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation of that phrase. It's poetic. Blossoming fully the flower of the holy name takes me to Braja and reveals his own love dalliance. This name gives to me my own eternal spiritual body, keeps me right by Krishna's side, and completely destroys everything related to this mortal frame of mine. Meaning, we don't need anything else. Just need Krishna's name, full shelter in Krishna's name. Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. And that's only 4 out of 7. And it's 9:30 already. Anandam Bodhi Vardhanam. Ananda, we know that one. Ambodhi is the ocean of Ananda. Ananda, Ambodhi. Vardhanam. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. Chanting. It's not just like going for a swim in the pool. Anandam Bodhi Vardhanam. Just from chanting. Prati padam purnam ritasvadanam. Prati padam. With each step, so it makes you want to take another step and another step. Prati padam purna amrita asvadanam. It helps us to give a taste for that full nectar for which we are always anxious. There's one more, sarvatma snapanam. The soul becomes snapanam, fully cleansed, fully immersed in purity. Quite a distinction from where we started. Param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is providing through this first verse of Shikshastakam, the impetus, an impetus, to chant. It's like, you know, a commercial. Buy this product. But it's not false advertising, it's transcendental truth. Please take the holy name and chant. So, how often should we chant? Kirtaniya Sadahari, right? Always chant. Where's your harmonium? Could you take the harmonium over there? You can sit there just playing the drum. Do you have some cartels? No, right? Yeah. Give her the harmonium. There's a nice song by Bhaktivinod Thakur. Nam Gai. Gai means chant or call. Gora Madhu Svare. Huh? So, she's going to lead us in singing this nice song. Just this little phrase. Sing it, sing that a few times.
Hare Krishna. Lord Gaura Sundar sings in a very sweet voice, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Whether you are a householder or a sannyasi, constantly chant Hare Hare. Do not forget this chanting, whether you are in a happy condition or a distressful one. Just fill your lips with the Harinam. You are bound up in the network of Maya and are forced to toil fruitlessly. Now you have obtained full consciousness in the human form of life, so chant the names of Radha Madhav. Your life may end at any moment, and you have not served the Lord of the Senses, Hrishikesha. Take this advice of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Just once relish the nectar of the holy name.
In any condition. So it applies to us and it applies to everyone. That whatever the stage of one's hill or valley or ignorance or bliss, its chanting is appropriate. The chanting by foolish people making fun of Krishna's name, or there's one historical, more than one historical incident, but a newspaper article in New Zealand published a story how bad the Hare Krishnas were. They go in the street and they sing Hare Krishna and they make all this noise and it's disruptive to the peace of our towns and villages, and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada was presented with that newspaper article. He said, oh, this is very good. See how many times they've said Hare Krishna. Although their mentality is anti-Krishna or demoniac, by calling Krishna's name, they've received so much benefit, it distributes so much benefit. Or another example is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When editing or proofreading or reviewing articles that would be published, one of the standards was how many times Krishna's name was in the article. Very good, publish it. Not the only criterion, but there's in any circumstance in our lives, in any circumstance, chanting of the holy name is appropriate. Like Dhruva, he wanted to speak something, but he was stunned in a state of ecstatic love, so the Supreme Lord touched his head with his conch shell and called Krishna's name. Prabhupada's comment is, that's appropriate in any circumstance. In any circumstance. So that's our teaching. Chant. That's step one of the fundamentals of chanting Krishna's holy name. So, I'm not going to take questions because of time. We'll break now, come back, and according to the schedule, it's 1 hour for breakfast? Okay. So whoever the kirtan performers are, in 1 hour from now, you're on. And we'll carry on from there. Shri Shri Radha Damodar Ki, Shri Prabhupada Ki.